Okay, so this is our opening chabura on the topic of bittul. As you saw, if you look carefully at the makor sheet, it says chelik aleph, so there will be a chelik base. Shocker. So as you'll see, the sugya of bittul is a very big one. And just to keep everything organized, you know, to keep the big picture in mind, what we're going to do, if you can see already from the breakdown of the makor sheets, is that we're first going to analyze the nature of bittul, right? The mechanics of how bittul work, how bittul works, through according to different mafarshim. We're going to basically develop a number of different approaches to that, and then we're going to basically analyze various issues within the sugya, such as, you know, in says in Beis, the, you know, whether bittul's mekayin tashbisu, and in Gimel it says whether chametz works on, whether bittul works on chametz yadua, and a slew of different issues. Where basically the way it's going to work is that once we analyze the nature of bittul, we're going to then be able to analyze all of these different issues through the lenses of these different approaches. Again, so once you basically are able to identify the various approaches that, you know, that different Rishonim take to bittul, and then are better equipped to properly analyze all the various issues within the sugya of bittul and understand them according to the different approaches. So with that introduction, let's see the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis, which basically is probably the most important Gemara regarding bittul, telling us that bittul works midoraisa. So again, this is a long chapter of Atari, which I didn't want to, you know, give you all of it, because not all of it is relevant to us. Basically, it starts in Dalet Amud Aleph. There's a brisa which says that in a certain circumstance that the Chachamim basically believed Nashim, Kitanim, and Avadim to testify that a bedikah was performed. And the big question of the Gemara is, why in the world do we believe the testimony of Kitanim, Avadim, and Nashim? Right? Generally, those three categories of people are not ne'amanim to give edus. So in justifying, right, the ne'amanis of these three categories of people, the Gemara comes on to something very important regarding bittul. So if you go to Dalet Amud Beis, the first word in line is ma'u detema. Benny, would you mind just reading the three lines starting with ma'u detema? So again, Dalet Amud Beis is going to be a very important Gemara. It's really the starting point. So he says, Ma'od Tema, a couple lines up from Tosos Midarais of Abitl Ba'alma. So your first words in line of Ma'od Tema? Ma'od
Tema, Aminu.
Right, so you would have thought that the Chachamim would not grant Ne'amanus to these group of people, because generally they are not Ne'amanim, they're not believed to give testimony. So what's the Kamash Milan, is the important part?
Kevan de Vidika Chamez Midarabanan, no?
Since the bedika at hand that these nashim ketanim of avadim are testifying to, because the bedika at hand is only midirabanan. Now the key is, why is it only midirabanan? Aren't there deraisa issues such as bayabay matzei at stake? Answer is. So why does the Gemara say that bedika's chametz in this case is only midirabanan? Because what solves the issue midiraisa? Bittul. And therefore, once bedikah is only drabanan, so therefore the chacham were able to believe the nashim avadim and bittul. But here is, right, this very crucial line, right, the line that all the rishonim point to, is that this gemara proves that bittul chametz works midoraisa. Right, since bittul chametz, right, works midoraisa, thereby rendering bedikah, which is performed after bittul, to only be a din. So while it's clear from the Gemara that bittul chametz works on a doraisa level, there are two things which are unclear. Two points which are unclear and which we're going to develop throughout the sugya. Right, unclear point number one is, how does bittul work? What are the mechanics of bittul? Right, so while it's clear from the Gemara that bittul works on a doraisa, it's not clear from the Gemara how bittul works. So again, point number one, which we're going to have to develop, and this is going to be the beginning of our sugya, which is how exactly does bittul work? What are the mechanics by which bittul works on a doraisa level? That's point number one, which we're going to have to look into. Unclear point number two is, which dinam d'oraisa are impacted by bittul, right? All the Gemara says is that mid'oraisa bittul ba'alma sugya, that mid'oraisa bittul works, but which dinim de oraisa, or which din de oraisa, does this Gemara refer to? So from context, and we'll see Rashi in just a few moments, Rashi actually, not on the spot, but on Dalam and Aleph, it's clear from Rashi that the din d'oraisa that the Gemara is for sure speaking about is Baal Yerubay Matzeh. Right? It's clear from context that the issue that is, you know, at the heart of this Gemara is to obviate, is to neutralize the Isurim of Baal Yerubay Matzeh. And at face value, the Gemara is saying that don't worry about the Isuri d'oraisa of Baal Yerubay Matzeh, because Bittel is effective in neutralizing Baal Yerubay Matzeh, and therefore the Bedika is only working on a Drabbanan level. But what's not clear is that in addition to Bittel's neutralization of Baal Yerubay Matzeh, is Bittel also Mekayim another Din d'oraisa, which what would be the potential Din d'oraisa that Bittel might or might not fulfill?
Tashbisu.
Right? So while it's clear from the Gemara that Bittel works mid'oraisa, and from context it seems like it works to neutralize Baal Yerubay Matzeh, it's not clear whether in addition to neutralizing the din d'oraisa, the isurei d'oraisa Baal Yerubay Matzeh, whether it also is mekayim the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu. And that's going to be the second topic we discuss. Again, once we understand the nature of a Bittel, we'll then be able to properly analyze, right, the other discussion in the Rishonim as to whether Bittel, in addition to neutralizing Baal Yerubay Matzeh, whether it also fulfills the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu. So again, in short, it's clear from this Gemara, opening Gemara, that Bittel is the Oraisa. What's unclear, point number one, is what are the mechanics of Bittel? We're going to discuss right now. And unclear point number two is which dinim d'oraisa does Bittel, you know, affect. It seems to clearly neutralize Baal Yerubay Matzeh, but it's not unclear whether it also affects, whether it also it fulfills as Mekayim the Asay of the Kusim. Sorry, first, Yehuda, you're good? Yeah.
Just for organizational purposes,
yeah.
The first worksheet will deal with the first question, the second worksheet.
No. When I, Aleph is the nature of Bittel. Beis is the second point of Tashbisu, and then Gimel is going to be another point, and then, you know, a second source sheet is going to be and then a second source sheet is going to be a number of additional issues which are going to be impacted, again, by the nature of Tashbisu. So, let's get to the heart of the sigyo, which is, again, you know, the biggest issue, what exactly is the nature of Tashbisu? What exactly are the mechanics of Tashbisu? So we're going to see, develop right now, that there are two general approaches to Bittel, right? And then within each of those two general approaches, there are going to be, you know, called sub-approaches, right? Basically, two or more versions of each of these general approaches. Okay, we're going to go through each of them quickly. So the first general approach we're going to develop right now is the approach of Afra Da'ar, which says that the mechanics of Bittel is that through Bittel, the person establishes that he relates to the chametz not as chametz, not as a piece of bread which is edible and which is chashuv, but he rather relates to the chametz as dirt. And once the person, according to this approach, subjectively relates to the chametz as dirt, so then you're not going to violate Baal Yerubay Matzeh anymore for that chametz, because since the person subjectively relates to the chametz as dirt, so that's koveya for the isurim of Baal Yerubay Matzeh. Once the person views the chametz as dirt, it's considered dirt for the isurim of Baal Yerubay Matzeh, and therefore Bittel in that way is able to neutralize Baal Yerubay Matzeh. As you probably noticed from my lishonos, a major assumption of this approach of Afra Da'ara is that the person subjectively, you know, relating to the chametz as dirt has an effect. As you can imagine, this is going to very much align with the subjective approach to Baal Yerubay Matzeh. Again, our opening, you know, sugya of the summer. It's because if you think that Baal Yerubay Matzeh by its nature is subjective, so then you can be open to such an approach of Bittel, which says as long as the person subjectively doesn't relate to the chametz as chametz, but he subjectively relates to it as afra da'ara, as dirt, so then it makes sense why the person's subjective, you know, subjective perspective will have an effect on neutralizing the subjective isurim of Baal Yerubay Matzeh. But if you adopt an objective approach to Baal Yerubay Matzeh and say it's all about objectively, is there chametz in your rishus? So then the fact that the person subjectively views it as dirt doesn't change the objective reality that there is a piece of chametz, or there are multiple pieces of chametz in your rishos. So again, if you take the objective approach to by Rabbi Matzeh, so then you're presumably not going to be able to adopt such a subjective approach of afer da'ara. Again, and we're going to see that many of the shittos line up, that if there are many of the Rishonim who adopt this afer da'ara, this subjective approach to bittul, are going to l'shitasam also have adopted a subjective approach to by Rabbi Matzeh, because otherwise this approach of afer da'ara will not work. Does that analysis make sense? Right? Afer da'ara is all about the person in his mind, you know, treating it as dirt, but again, that doesn't have any bearing on objective reality. So the only way that would have an effect on anything, right, if the goal of bittul, at the very least, is to neutralize Bayer Bayer Matzeh, the only way the subjective, you know, perspective of Afer da'ara is going to have an impact on Bayer Bayer Matzeh, if the Yisurim of Bayer Bayer Matzeh themselves are subjective in nature. And again, is the reason why we started the our limud of the first parent, again, with an analysis of the nature of Bayer Bayer Matzeh, because as we're seeing so far, it affects a lot of the different dinim. We saw how it affected Bidika, and now we're seeing how it has an effect on bittul as well. Yeah.
Are you seeing the definition of bittul as a cause for the definition of Bayer Bayer Matzeh?
No, not necessarily. Is that it's hard to know what presumably your perspective on Bayer Bayer Matzeh is going to dictate what is then going to be needed to neutralize that. Right. First is an Yisurim of Bayer Bayer Matzeh, and then there's a mechanism called bittul which comes along and neutralizes that. So once you have an understanding of Bayer Bayer Matzeh, you can then understand how the mechanism of bittul is going to undermine that. Okay, good. So, but within this general approach of Afer Da'ara, as we pointed out before, we're going to see there are two different versions of it. We'll call it, just for organizational sake, we'll call it 1A and 1B. Right? So, option 1A is that the bittul of Afer Da'ara, we'll call it, is a direct nullification of the Shem Chametz. By that I mean, and this is the simple way of understanding it, is that through bittul, by viewing the Chametz as dirt, that bittul, in essence, basically transforms that Chametz into dirt, and thereby, thereby neutralizes the Yisurim of Bayer Bayer Matzeh. Again, the simple version of this Afer Da'ara approach is that once the person views the Chametz as Afer Da'ara, so now that Shem Chametz, the Chametz in his Rishus, is subjectively transformed into dirt, which therefore negates Bayer Bayer Matzeh. And we're going to see three Mefarshim right now who basically adopt this approach to Afer Da'ara, that again, Afer Da'ara, the approach of Afer Da'ara is simply that the person, once the person views the Chametz as dirt, it's dirt, and therefore there is no violation of Bayer Bayer Matzeh. Oh. So the first mefarish within this is Rashi on Daf Dalad Amud Aleph. Okay, everyone to turn to Dalad Amud Aleph. This is Rashi Dibur Maskil Chovas Hadar. Again, this is within an important Shachmatari of Masker Socher, which we're not getting into right now. But again, within this, Gemara, Dibur Maskil Chovas Hadar, if you skip, the beginning of it, starting with Aval Hacha, we're going to see Rashi's perspective on bittul. Yitzi, would you mind reading for us?
Sure.
Is he starting with Aval Hacha?
Aval Hacha b'dikas chomes terapanan, de'im ishim ba'yireha u'ba'yimata ha'omal b'kaman b'sagilei b'bittul b'alma.
Oh, okay. So what's Rashi saying, right? Rashi's saying, in the case at hand of Masker Socher, whatever the case may be, he says that the bedika, right, and the Gemara is discussing, who's chayiv in bedika, is the masker, the socher. So Rashi just points out, for the purposes of the sugya, that the chovas bedika in the Gemara at hand is only midrabanan. Rashi says, but what do you mean? Maybe you need it to neutralize bayer bayer matzeh, especially shitaso. He says, no, there's no issue of bayer bayer matzeh here. Why? Because ha'amar lekaman is you read to sagile the bittul ba'ama. Because what took place already? You already did bittul. And Rashi points to the Gemara in Dalad Amud Beis, that Gemara of Bindarais of a bittul ba'amasagi, that dictates that bittul neutralizes Bayer Bayer Matzeh. Again, this was the Rashi I was referring to. Rashi clearly learns that this simple pshat in the line of Bindarais of bittul ba'amasagi light is referring to the neutralization of Bayer Bayer Matzeh. Fine. But now Rashi is going to explain for the first time, so what are the mechanics of bittul? So what was bittul ba'alma?
Oh,
so what does that mean?
If it works by
Right, it's like meaning because it's in a case where misiach daite mine, he removed his das his chashivas from it, and what do you consider it? Exactly. Umashvile ka'af. Clearly, Rashi understands the way bittul works is that the person in his mind is no longer views the chametz as chashiv as important. He's misiach daite mine, and he views it umashvile ka'af, and he relates to it simply as dirt. And now he says, well, what's the nosach? V'amar. Right, so he only gives us the beginning of the nosach ha-pitzel. It's, a little bit of a tease. It would be nice to see what Rashi's full nosach ha-pitzel was, but okay. He says that this perspective of viewing it as relating to it as afar is established by the following nosach. And then he says, Rabbanan. Stop there, right? And after the person forms bittul, it's the Rabbanon who come along and are mechayev bedika. Fine. So again, point number one is that Rashi clearly adopts, right, this afredar approach. It says very clearly that once the person views it as afar, that's all it is. That's all that, that bittul entails. And again, it works out, we pointed out before, that this afredar approach only makes sense if you assume that Bayer by Matzah is also subjective, but it works out very nicely for Rashi, because what's Rashi's perspective on Bayer by Matzah? Anyone remember?
Seeing.
It's subjective through seeing. So the same Rashi who clearly holds that Bayer by Matzah is subjective, he says it's only going to violate it if a person subjectively sees it, even if it's in his rishus, it doesn't matter as long as the person doesn't see it. So the same Rashi who clearly adopts the subjective approach to Bayer by Matzah, Lishitaso, is able to adopt an Afra Da'ara approach to Bittul, which is also subjective in nature, right? Confirming our analysis before. I feel like there was a hand. Yeah, here we go.
Well, it doesn't seem that is going on to sugi lebittul, that maybe not all of it is what bittul is, but in order for bittul to be enough,
he's explaining why is it that bittul is enough to neutralize bayo by matzah, and he says these are the mechanics.
But maybe in it he's just explaining that bittul would only be enough if you are also misiach das for it, because you could understand, for instance. Within the hefker approach, you would have to understand, in order for the kinyan chatzar to not re-effectuate your re-ownership of the chametz, you'd have to completely.
Yeah, but that's not what he's talking about at all. Though.
But he's explaining why bittul would be sufficient.
Yeah.
But I'm saying.
And the only description is viewing it as afredar.
He's explaining if you meet these requirements, in addition, or maybe
if Rashi also held there's a din of hefker at play. You would like to find that anywhere in Rashi.
Okay, but I'm saying that.
That's all I'm saying. No. If Rashi never describes bittul as hefker, so then it's very hard to say.
But I'm just giving that as an example. My point is though that even within the non-hefker approach, you could understand that kinyan chatzar could be effectuated.
We're not talking about kinyan chatzar.
Okay, but I'm saying that meisiach das isn't necessarily what bittul is.
I'm saying. It's clear from here. This is the only time Rashi ever describes the mechanics of bittul. We'll see. Other times he explains what the effects of bittul are, in terms of kiyum tashbisu, which we'll get to. The only time Rashi describes the mechanics of bittul, he says it's all about the person's subjective perspective of viewing it as afar. On the basis of that, and this is not my chiddush, the entire world assumes that shitas Rashi on bittul is that it works midin afar da'af.
Yeah, so I'm saying you could understand that that what bittul is being mashvilei ba'afidara, but not you don't have to say that all the conditions that Rashi delineates is bittul itself. It's just bittul is sagi if you meet all these conditions.
Theoretically possible, but I don't think this simple pshat Rashi. Yeah.
I'm just having trouble saying why do we have to link the subjective approach by God.
The fact that since my bittul's happening through my relation to it, that's really because let's imagine a world. Let's say if a particular Rishon thought that Bayer by Matzah is objective in nature, which basically means, right, let's say the Rush. Right? The Rush would hold that you violate Bayer by Matzah as long as Chametz is objectively in your Rishos. So then one could say that the fact that the person relates to the chametz as dirt is not going to have any effect on Bar Rabbi Matzeh, because in the end of the day, objectively, there is still chametz which you own in your rishus. The fact that you, I don't relate to it as, you know, chametz, I relate to it as offer, but who cares? If Bar Rabbi Matzeh, by its nature, is all about you can't objectively have objective chametz in your rishus, so then the way to get around that would have to be some objective mechanism such as hefker.
That's only if bittul's coming this far. No? If bittul's coming from a pasuk, then why does it have to work with my...
The Torah never tells you from bayar... The Torah never tells you... We're going to get to exactly what the makor is, but again, there's no... The only way you can derive from bayar by matzeh the din of bittul... The only way you can derive from Ba'al Rabbi Matzeh the din of Bittul as Afer Da'ara is if you already assumed that the Ba'al Rabbi Matzeh by its nature was subjective. If you came in with the perspective that Ba'al Rabbi Matzeh is objective, then there's no way you can ever derive from Ba'al Rabbi Matzeh that, you know, that a Bittul of Afer Da'ara would work, because it's apples and oranges. But we'll get to the Makoros. We'll get to Makoros soon, especially when we deal with Tashbisu. And whether it's coming from Tashbisu, we'll analyze what exactly is the Makor. Okay, so again, so in addition to Rashi and Dalaram and Aleph, we're going to have the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, and Chametz Matzah. Again, if anyone have the Rambam? The Rambam is a very important formulation. Again, interestingly, the Rambam is coming from, in the context of actually Tashbisu, which we're going to analyze, you know, more in full later. Again, the Rambam, when discussing what is the, you know, what's the method by way, you know, by way to be Mekayim, the mitzvah, say of Tashbisu, or at least according to our Girsa, the Rambam says the way to Mekayim Tashbisu is through Bittul, and he's going to describe Bittul in terms of Afer Da'ara, that again, as long as you subjectively relate to the Chametz as Afer Da'ara, that's going to be Mekayim Tashbisu. Who has Rama?
Allah?
Okay, it's pretty verbose, as we discussed in Seder. But the Rama, when he's trying to define, so how are you Mekayim the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu? So what does he say? He shivata lachametz belibo. You're mevatala in your lathe. Right? How does he explain what your thought process is? V'yachshav oso ka'afer, which means what?
That you'll think about it as if it's dirt.
Exactly. And then he adds,
then you should have the thought in your heart that it's not in your ownership. You don't have any chametz in your ownership.
Right. It's a little verbose. Again, I don't have a great explanation in terms of why the Rambam feels the need to say this in so many words, but he says, you have to view the chametz as offer. And therefore, if you really view it as offer, you therefore have to feel that your rishus is void of any chametz, right? Because once you turn all chametz in your rishus into offer, so now you have to, if you're honest with yourself, so then in your mind, there is no chametz in my rishus. I have a lot of dirt, but I have no chametz. And then he continues. We should call from a different angle, and that now, not only is my entire rishus rid of chametz, but all chametz in my rishus is afar. Again, I don't have a great explanation in terms of, he seems to be describing this from like a lot of different angles. And what's afar? I mean, why do we describe afar? Because afar is like a paradigmatic example of something which has no purpose. So in short, right, the Rambam, like Rashi, right, adopts the afar, the ara approach, says that the mechanics of bittul is that you view it, you relate to it as offer. And again, in confirmation to our previous analysis, just like Rashi was very much l'shitasa, because Rashi held that Bar Rabbi Matzeh was subjective, because Rashi adopted the re'iyah approach to Bar Rabbi Matzeh. And remember, what's the shitas Rambam about Bar Rabbi Matzeh?
Yediyah.
Right, so the Rambam also adopted a subjective approach to Bar Rabbi Matzeh. Okay, albeit a different version of it, yediyah, not Rashi's re'iyah, but for our purposes, it doesn't really matter. Because the point is, the Rambam, who holds that bittul works through subjectively relating to the chametz as dirt, very much l'shitaso to the fact that he views that the parameters of Bar Rabbi Matzeh themselves are very much subjective. Again, as we pointed out before, if you didn't hold that Bar Rabbi Matzeh was subjective, it would be very difficult to understand why a subjective mechanism of bittul such as afra de ara would be effective. Yeah.
Ziva's wondering during Seder.
What
like,
did you say?
Ziva's wondering during Seder, like, okay, where do we get these things about afar? And, like, where does everyone get this from that bittul is afar? And
meaning,
and like,
where, meaning what, get, why do they choose afar as a way of describing?
And, like, where do they get this from?
I guess afar is just the paradigm of, like, something which is in your shus, but it's just insignificant. Like the Rambam says here, he says it's ke'afar u'kedavar she'im botzorech klal. So I guess that's just their... I guess that's just the paradigm of something which is in your shoes, but like it has no value and it's just there.
It's like where'd they get bittul?
You're asking, is there like a pasuk that I know of that, you know, I'm not aware. Yeah. Oh, so he was going to answer his own question?
No, I was just clarifying, I think.
You can refer to yourself in third person also.
I think there's another part of the question, but I think another part of the question I think we're also is it seems like the Ramadan and the Rishon are layering like addition after fish what actually bittul is. Meaning is that you have to have hezkandas and you have to make sure that you're being possible, like offer so are these two separate things, they're coming to say the same thing.
I think they're all one thing. I think the hezkandas, or like Rashi's lashon of, you know, to be misiach daite mine, I think is say remove your perspective of chashivas towards it and thereby relate to it merely as dirt.
So I was just reading it as like
as one thing.
As very wordy.
Yeah, again, Rashi, I guess, yeah, you're saying even Rashi is a little verbose, meaning Rambam's, you know, puts Rashi to shame in terms of, you know, the word count. But yeah, I guess they're all trying to just make it very clear that if you're going to go this right, if you go this route, that it's about the way you subjectively relate to it, you really have to view it as, like, worthless. And that's the way you accomplish bittul. Okay, again, later on we'll discuss the... significance of the context of the Rambam, which says that bittul of afra da'ara is mekayim tashbisu. Again, it's clear from Rambam's context. He's saying mahi hashpasa, and he explains that's what bittul is. So it's very clear from the Rambam that the bittul of afra da'ara is mekayim tashbisu. But again, we'll get back to the ramifications of that when we, you know, when we discuss, you know, section based in the Makoros. So again, in addition to Rashi and the Rambam, you have the Rabbeinu Menoach. Again, the Rabbeinu Menoach, who is an early mefarish on the Rambam. Anyone have it? Yeah, exactly. That's on the sheet. All right, so the Rabbeinu Menoach has a very, again, also very important formulation of the mechanics of bittul. So starting with, you see the third line, the first word, Avol Me'acher. Let's get Mordechai, would you mind? It's the third line of Avol Me'acher. What? Have you left it? Anyone? Yonatan, do you have it? No, it is the third line of Avol Me'acher. Right, so right. After you do bittul, that's going to, you know, neutralize by Rabbi Matze. So now let's see how he learns it out of the pasuk. Very important formulation. Right, it says lo yira el lecha chamit. So what I like the way you emphasize the lecha. So how does the Rabbi Menoach understand that line?
That you can't see specifically chametz that is the Torah's chametz
in your eye, right? Lo yira. Presumably, I think your idea is right. Like lo yira el lecha chametz. I think Rabbi Menoach is saying it can't be viewed to you as chametz. So he's medayek b'toras chametz as chametz. But b'toras afar yera'et. But it would be fine if you viewed it as afar. So again, Rabbeinu Menoach, again, also within the afar da'ara approach, again, along the lines of Rashi, the Rambam, and now Rabbeinu Menoach, all saying the way the afar da'ara approach works is that when you view it as afar da'ara, that's mevatel b'chametz, and that's the neutralization of Bayoi Matze. Again, an important diok here, which we're going to analyze later, is that in contrast to the Rambam, who derives this bittul from Tashbisu, Rabbeinu Menoach derives this bittul from Bayar Bay Matze. And as I was, you know, telling Ephraim before, it would seem that the only way you can have such a drasha is if you took a subjective approach to Bayar Bay Matze to begin with, such that you think it's possible that when the Torah is saying lo yira'el lecha chametz, it's talking in subjective terms that you can't view it as chametz. You can't be seen to you as chametz. Again, it's already a very subjective reading of the pasuk, such that you can say, "Oh, it is long." But as long as you view it as afar, all is good and well. Yeah.
It also that he's getting that the fact that we're emphasizing the chah, because anything the two words that Rabbi Menoach repeats in the drasha, first of it is the chametz and the yera'ah, not the lecha.
Yeah, but again,
you're emphasizing the chal in the drashas. That should be emphasized.
I think that's the trigger which tells you that it's only a problem if you view it b'toras chametz, but not if you view it. It's like as long as it appears to you as chametz, mashma that if it appears to you as something else, then it's fine. So he says, what's the something else? It's toras chametz versus toras afar. Again, you're right. He doesn't. Me, I guess Yonatan is with me. I guess we're assuming it's coming from Lecha. Again, that's not. I'm not. What?
Why?
I think because that's probably the indication from Bayabai Matze that it's about the way he is relating to it, the way he's perceiving it. Otherwise, the Diyak is coming from the fact that it says Chametz, so you can mean the Diyak that because it says Chametz, it doesn't mean Afar. And that.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you're right. If you took it as saying, yeah, you can have chametz in your shus, but you can have afar in your shus, that's true. That's not the diuk he makes, right? You're allowed to have afar in your shus. That's a valid diuk. But he doesn't say that. He says, you're allowed to have chametz in your shus as long as you don't view it as chametz, as long as you view it as afar. So where does he get in from the pasuk that it's about, that the koveya is the way you view it? It can't just come from the fact that it says chametz. So that's what I'm saying. It could be it is coming from lecha. And more importantly than the diuk from Lecha, presumably it's based on his subjective approach to Bayabai Matze in general, which leads him to say that the pasuk is all based on the way the person is relating to the chametz. That's my understanding. Is that an elbow or hand?
Yeah.
Hand. Yeah.
Why do you feel forced to say that that the whole dust thing has to be within the subjective approach? Why can't you say that maybe as a general rule by Nechassim there's some authority that the owner has over the status of their item, and by making this declaration they're effectively changing the status to be objectively seen?
If you found a place where you can have if you're referencing the Gemara of Vavavez by Sofet Te'inim, that's something which is objectively non-chashiv. But if you can find something in the context of a piece of chametz which is chashiv, where you can just, redefine that, then let me know.
No, but I'm saying, maybe that's what this is about. But what's the makor for that? But we see no indication one way or the other.
How do you know that?
Well,
how do you know what bittul is?
What?
How do you know what bittul is?
Well,
if the Torah spelled out what bittul was, then you can start making you can make derivations from the bittul. But the Torah never tells us how bittul works.
That's true. I'm saying.
So in order to explain how these particular Rishonim derive the nature of bittul, you have to explain where they're coming from.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could just as easily say the fact, that
there's no such din, the Chol Torah Kula.
But
you can't say bittul because then that's circular.
You could make something hektish. You could make something holy.
Whoa, okay, that's. Very different.
Well, you could make something.
So you can be mafkir or something also. But that's a distinct mechanism.
But right, so I'm saying you could make something into considered like dust.
Okay, when you find me the.
But I'm saying it's no. But I'm saying you're reading in this whole idea about this subjective. Because you view it as dust, so we're not going to make it in your issues.
Oh, I didn't. So far, you're just paraphrasing what all these Rishonim just said.
Well, you're saying what these Rishonim are saying.
No. What these Rishonim are objectively saying. I'll tell you where I come in. Right. Meaning, all these Rishonim are saying that the fact that you subjectively.
Yeah.
I used that word. They didn't use that word. But, right, they're all saying the fact that the person views the chametz as dirt.
Yeah.
That obviates, that gets around Bayabai Matze. Yeah. So far, that's what they said. All I'm saying is that, how do you connect the dots? Why is it, how do you connect dot number one, which says the person viewing it as afar, dot number one, dot number two being that obviates, that neutralizes Bayabai Matze? Why is the person's subjective relationship or perception of the chametz as afar somehow negate or neutralize in Isra Bayabai Matze? So all I'm saying, and this is where I'm coming in, is that if you connect the dots, the only reason why it would matter that you're relating to the chametz as dirt is if you think that the Isra that you're trying to get around is subjective in nature.
I would agree to that connection, but what I'm challenging is your assumption that these Rishonim are all assuming that it's that basically it that this direct link between Since I consider it like dirt, you're getting around by your bomb.
Well,
I'm saying what these three shown and perhaps are saying is that since I view it like dirt, the Torah considers it like dirt.
Where's Bar Yerubam? One second.
So therefore, since the Torah considers it like dirt, you're not going to be over by your bomb.
I think all you did was just added another dot.
No, but I'm
said.
But I'm saying
the Torah considers it
no,
like dirt.
No, but I'm saying then it fits into.
Really does
but then it's more objective, because. It's not merely about how you view it.
But why is the Torah view it like dirt after you view it as dirt? Only because the Koveh at hand is the way you view it.
But I'm saying that...
30
that
more
could,
seconds, and then...
That yeah. isn't necessarily a special din in Chomet. That could be more of a larger din in the
Chomet. I said when you find that halach in Shulchan Aruch, you'll show it to you. Yeah.
The reason why... It matters whether you subjectively feel what it's true or not.
Yeah.
The subjective approach or the objective approach,
yeah.
because objectively it is already dirt.
Whoa, that's not what you're showing him say.
I think that's what they're saying.
But they don't say that. You're
not trying to give any reason to why his theory about
like,
the power
okay.
works.
Okay, so get back to me right after I say the other version of it.
Okay, I think that's
you're just saying there's one version.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I'll. Okay. So let's just so keep everyone, you know. Up to date here. So again, according to what I'm suggesting, again, anything I'm saying, really any solution here, but is that, right, approach 1A is that, right, Rashi, the Rambam, the Rabbeinu Manoach, the fact that they, all they say is that Bittul is that you view it as Afar, and now it's Afar, you don't violate Bar Yerubam Maaseh. That's all they say. So in my mind, they're adopting approach 1A is that the way Bittul works is that you subjectively, once you view it as Afar, so that redefines the Chametz as Afar, that's it. And the way I'm explaining that is because they're taking a subjective approach to Bar Yerubam Maaseh. That's why there's the person's subjective, you know, view, perception of the Chametz as Afar, you know, is Koveya in our minds, the Chametz as Afar. That brings us to version 1B, which is, you know, we're going to see the Ramban and Rabbeinu David are going to say this. Right, that version 1B is that yes, the starting point of the Afar, right, of the Afar the Ara approach is that Bittul works through the person relating to the Chametz as Afar the Ara, but it doesn't stop there. The only reason, says the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, the only reason why the person subjectively relating to the Chametz as dirt, the reason why that matters. Is because, as Yaakov was referencing, is because the fact that objectively, says the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, right, a person doesn't own chametz on Pesach, right? Getting back to the memra of on Vav and Beis, the Shnei Dvarim, right, in a Bershusa Shel Adam, right, that chametz is an example of an item which after Shas Isser doesn't belong, Bepashas, doesn't belong to the person. And therefore, says the Ramban Rabbeinu David, the Torah is only going to place it in your Rishus. When you relate to it as chametz, says the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, but once you relate to it as Afra Da'ara and not as chametz, so that's going to prevent the Torah from placing it in your rishus. So in short, just to highlight the contrast, while approach 1A said that the perception of Afra Da'ara alone in a vacuum just negates the shame chametz, approach 1B says no, the perception... Right, relating to the chametz as Afar Da'ara prevents the Torah from placing it in your rishus. So again, while approach 1A is we'll called a direct nullification, that the Afar Da'ara is a direct, you know, nullification of the shem chametz, approach 1B says that no, the Afar Da'ara prevents the Torah, prevents the asana kasav ki'ilo hu berishusa. And I'm going to highlight, you know, the difference between those two approaches in just a moment, but let's first read the Rambam inside. And again, getting back to Yaakov's point, now that everyone knows the contrast, again, if, while the Ramban and Rabbeinu David spell out that the Afar Da'ara prevents the son of Kasekilo Bershuso, the Rashi, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach make no reference to that. And therefore, I think the Pashtus is that they don't need that.
I don't understand how they work otherwise.
As I'm trying to explain, if you take a subjective approach, which Rashi and the Rambam do, so I'm not even like, it's not even speculative, right? The fact that Rashi and the Rambam adopt a subjective approach to Bar Yerubam Maaseh. Therefore, they say that as long as you relate to chametz subjectively, is not as chametz. So they say, yeah, just like not seeing it or not knowing the chametz, you know, prevents you from violating because you don't have an inappropriate subjective relationship to the chametz. So too, by relating to the chametz as dirt, that's a proper relationship to the chametz, and therefore you don't violate Arbei Matzah. And the fact that the Ramban, the fact that in stark contrast to Rabbeinu David and Ramban, who explicate this factor of Asana Kasav Kilu Bershuso and say the only reason why Afrodara works is because of that factor, Rashi, Rambam, and Rabbeinu Noach making no reference to that, which I think is an important and significant deal.
I don't think Rashi or the Rambam say how it really works. They're saying what you have to do.
I think they give you all the material you need to know how it works. But those are the mechanics.
You can feel the subjective approach. The subjective approach in Sugya number A was the fact that you have to relate to the chametz to be over. This is how you relate to the chametz.
No, that's the whole point. The way to obviate, the way to neutralize bayar by matzah is by relating to the chametz in a proper way, by relating to it simply as dirt.
You can't change it to offer because subjectively you feel that way.
Well, says it's Jean, but you can't.
I don't think that's what they say.
You're saying you don't like the idea, and therefore you want to add the Asana Kasa Kila Bershusa.
That's why they use the Lashon Ka'afa Da'ara, is because Yisrael knows Ka'afa Da'ara. I think that's why they're using that Lashon.
Well, the member never says that. So where do you get that from?
No, it's just it's worthless.
Okay, that doesn't tell you that they're invoking the Shnei Dvarim Sheinam Bershusa Shel Adam. I'm saying that that's not indication.
I don't get a subjective approach and how you're calling it a subjective approach here. I mean,
I would repeat it again, but I feel like I just don't want to keep it. We'll discuss it later. I just don't want to say it again. You have a hand? Yeah.
Rashi and Rambam and other places seem to say that you don't say other places. They have a sheet that
Well, the Rambam here in that same place, yeah.
That's why Afar would work, because since Bayar by Matzah and Tishbisu are connected, and therefore,
yeah, we're
making
Afar,
you have Tishbisu.
Okay, but it's still, an assumption that
the Torah is Mechayev, you only do Tishbisu.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but that's an
assumption.
No, there's an assumption that the Tishbisu itself is subjective, right?
Well,
how are you supposed to believe? I mean, so that's already a Nekuda. Meaning, the Bali Tosa say, what do you mean? Tashbisu is physical. That's hashvas to believe. So I'm saying, I think they might be related. The person who thinks that Bayar by Matzah is subjective is also going to be, you know, more inclined to say that Tashbisu is also related based on that connection. Number one. Number two, we're going to see Rabbeinu Manoach, though, says it comes out of Bayar by Matzah. That's an important good. And we're going to see other Rishonim within the Afidaru also say it comes out of Bayar by Matzah. So it can't be your only explanation, because that works for some, but not for all. Yeah.
Rabbi Matzah explaining why you should hear Rabbi Noach in the first category versus the second category?
Well, because he never invokes the factor of Shnei Dvarim She'ena Bershusa Shel Adam.
Wouldn't the Lacha aspect be the same thing? Meaning, I'm viewing it as an Kesuvah and Mela is not going to fall back from
the What I'm saying, if Lacha is just telling you that it's like, you know, the way me and Yonatan, okay? Yonatan, I'm carrying you on my team here. I hope I'm not, you know. If that's the mechanism, yeah. Let's look at the Lashon of the Ramban. Anyone have the Lashon of the Ramban? We're going to see that if you mean this, you say it, and you know they say it takes them a long time to say it. Meaning, it's not like I think it's significant that the Rambam and the and Rashi and Rabbeinu Manoach don't say this. So, Dira Maschu Elakach. Ziv, do you have it? Is he Elakach on the Omer? Yes, start from there. So everyone have it? If everyone can open up the Ramban or look on, or at least, you know, pay attention, you're going to see a very clear contrast between the Ramban's presentation of Afra Da'ara and the Rashi and Ramban's presentation.
The bittul devices take away the Torah's chametz, and so view it as if it was offered as not really lachila.
Right, so the Ramban starts off by formulating the Afra Da'ara approach. The mechanism of bittul is that you, in your mind, say, I no longer view it as chametz, I now view it as offer, which is worthless, which is not roi lachila. But now, again, Rashi and the Rambam end there, which leads me to think that that's all you need in order to understand their shita. But the Ramban, I think significantly, continues and says that's not enough. You need the following also. Right, and he says the basis of this heter is the fact that, right, objectively, right, you don't really own chametz after Shas. So skip like a sentence or two to Ela Shahatura Sa'asa.
Ela
So you don't objectively own chametz on Pesach. It's just that the Torah placed in your rishus in order to violate. But when does the Torah do that? Only. Right, slow. Mipnei shadaito olav v'rotze b'kiyuma. Says the Ramban, which is a very bichidish in even that memra, that the only time the Torah will place it in your rishus is only when daito olav and you rotze b'kiyuma. You want the chametz and you right. You want the chametz in your rishus. Lefichach. Let's stop there, right? Yeah, so what does he say? And therefore, so how does bittul work? Why does viewing it as offer the ara change anything? Because
this person is master of Torah by being the Vatalit, and that now one of the Mamon, so he's taking out his Shusha Gamre, and therefore he's not over any work, it's not called Lacha.
Exactly. So basically, says the Ramban, the way this Afra Da'ara approach works is that by viewing it as Afra Da'ara, that's basically telling the Torah, I have a proper relationship to the Chametz, therefore don't place it in my Rishus. And the Ramban assumes that the Torah only places chametz in your rishus to violate when you have an improper relationship to the chametz. Says the Ramban, by relating to the chametz as offer, and basically saying this is meaningless, I have no desire for chametz in my rishus, I relate to it merely as offer. So that's going to prevent the Torah from placing it in your rishus. So again, and I'm not going to read it inside right now, but the Rabbeinu David as well, again along the right, basically adopts his Rebbe's approach, the Ramban's approach, and also formulates the Afra Da'ara approach, but specifically as a way of preventing the Torah from placing in your Rishus. So you have, right, in version 1a, that is just a direct Afra Da'ara, which is Mevatel, the Shem Chametz, you have Rashi, the Rambam, and Rabbeinu Menach, and then that's version 1a, and now in version 1b, that it's the Afra Da'ara, which prevents the Torah, which prevents the Asana Kasub, Kilu Bershusto, you have the Ramban, and the Rabbeinu David. And we're going to see later when we get to the Ran that the Ramban is very parallel to the Ran. Basically, you know, you guys are not so far off from the SATs. Basically, like, the Ramban is to the Afra Da'ar approach, you know, what's the missing word? Like, the Ran is to the Hefker approach, right? And we'll get to that in a moment. They're both take their respective approaches and say, it doesn't work in a vacuum. It only works to prevent Asana Kasa Kila Bershiso. So the Ramban does to the Afra Da'ara approach to say, oh, Afra Da'ara alone in a vacuum doesn't do anything. It only does, only works to prevent the Torah from placing Rishus. We'll see later, the Ran is going to say, that's exactly what the Hefker is. It's not a Maisa Hefker. It's rather Hefker, your perception of it as Hefker, which is going to prevent the Torah from placing it in your Rishus. That's just, you know, we'll get to the Ran in a second. Well, before I take questions, but a great way of highlighting the contrast between these two different versions, 1a and 1b, is when the bittul is chal. According to version 1a, that the mechanics of bittul is that I view the chametz as offer, so that transforms the chametz into offer. According to version 1a, that is chal miyad. Because right when I view the chametz as offer, that is mevatel the shem chametz and transforms it into offer. It's chal miyad. But as we'll see, some achronim point out, really in context of the Ran, but it's the same parallel for the Ramban. According to version 1b, when is the bittul chal? The bittul is only chal when?
When the Torah tries to put back.
When the Torah tries to put in your rishus. Because according to the Ramban, the whole perspective of viewing it as Afra Da'ara, that alone doesn't transform the Shem Chametz. According to the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, what the perspective of Afra Da'ara does, its only effect, its only impact, is when the Torah at Shas Isser, at Shei Shos, about to place it in your Rishus, your perspective of Afra Da'ara says, wait a second, basically it prevents the Torah from placing your Rishus. So while the approach 1a thinks the Chalos, the timing of Bittul, is Chal Miyad, according to 1b, the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, the timing of bittul, the effect of bittul only takes place at Shas Isser to prevent it from being chal. Potential nafkamina, as the Achronim pointed out, if you're chozer. Right? Because it could be that if you take 1a, once you transform the chametz and the bittul is chal miyad, could be once that happens, it's too late. And we'll see Rashi himself adopts that approach. Once you turn the chametz into afar, even if later you're like, oh, wait a second, I machshav this, I view it as chametz, once it's afar, it's afar. But if you adopt approach 1b, if you're a Ramban or Rabbeinu David person who thinks that the only effect of the bittul of the perspective of Afar Ta'ara is to prevent the Torah from placing any rishus, so then if between the time that you performed your bittul and the Shas Isser, you change your mind so that now when the Shas Isser comes, your mindset is that you do view the Chametz as Chametz, so then that's going to effectively negate your bittul. And because the Bittul hasn't been chal yet, you can undermine, and because the later chalos of the bittul will all be based on your perspective, so if you change your perspective, that now come Shas Isser, your perspective towards the chametz is now as Torah's chametz and not Torah's offer, so that will presumably undo the effect of bittul. Yeah, Ella.
It seems from the Ramban later that even if you were chozer on your bittul, even during Pesach, when the Isser of chametz is already chal, then you still are able to be chozer. So it doesn't matter whether you're able to be chozer before the chalos of the bittul is chal.
Oh, is that it? I thought the Ramban later. We'll get to this. One of our whole topics is about the chazar of bittul, so we'll get to this as a separate topic. But I thought the Ramban later says that's the difference between the hefker approach and the afar da'ar approach. I thought he said later on, this is the end of that paragraph. He says, "V'hacha adif nami mehefker," talking about the afar da'ar approach, "dilo hadir ihu zachibe." To hashavya ka'afar v'lo nichle bigave. I thought the whole point is that after saying that, you know, we'll see, right? Hefker you can just undermine, because if hefker is about, oh, you relinquish ownership to it, you can then just be rekone it. But says the Ramban, I think at the end of that paragraph, but the reason why the bittul midin afar da'ara is like stronger than bittul midin hefker is because you can't go back on it, presumably. But again, we'll get back to that when we discuss our. So yeah, I just want to utilize that nafkamina as just a way of highlight. I think it's a great way of highlighting the difference between the two different versions. Approach 1a is that it's chal miyad. Approach 1b is that it's not chal till later, because it's all about preventing the Torah from placing rishus. Yes, Yoni.
I was just wondering why 1a would hold that you can't be told there.
Yeah. So again, what's for sure is that the bittul of point 1a is chal miyad. Because the whole point is that it's all about me, my perspective, that I don't view it as chametz, I view it as bittul. So I'm saying within that, it's possible to say, I'm not saying, this is not mukhrach, but it's possible to say within that approach that once you turn it into afar, there's no going back. And we'll see, like Rashi and the Ramban happen to hold that. Okay, I guess the Ramban, we'll have to get back to. But Rashi says that on Vav Mabez, that once you do bittul, that's why we're not worried about the chashash kluska yafe tai tilavei, because he says once you did tashbisu, he says it's done. But according to the, if it's all about preventing asana kasav kilu brushuso, then since the bittul doesn't take effect until later, so then presumably you can change your mind.
But not after shas is
resulted. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry, not after shas iser. It's after your shas bittul before shas iser. Yeah, sorry, it's in between those two times.
I guess two questions. If you say, first of all, you seem to say that within 1A we have to say that it's chal immediately, but if it's only only effectuated by the fact that asana kasav kilu.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Then how is it effectuated according to what you're saying within 1A?
I've been saying the whole time, according to version A, is the fact that you view it as offer transforms it into offer. That's why I thought you were arguing with me before. Now you understand.
That leads up to my follow-up question.
Which undermines your original question.
No.
The reason why I said earlier that approach requires a subjective approach to Bhagavad Matze is because I was holding that by viewing it as offer, that transforms it. I'm saying that, and there, it transforms it to obviate, Bhagavad Matze.
So I guess my more fundamental question is why do you need to say that all these people you call the subjective approach are assuming that as opposed to connecting it to the fact that asana kasav kilu b'shusu.
Because they don't say asana kasav.
But asana, maybe that's implicit. I think that's a very obvious.
It takes the Ramban like 6 lines to say it. And the Rabbeinu David as well.
So some people are more longer, they spell things out more, but I think it's very obvious.
I wasn't just talking about... I think the contrast, again, this is not even my aura. I think many people contrast the Rashi and the Rambam with, what is that?
Just because some people...
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, all I'm pointing out is this is not like, you know, don't think this is like my Chiddush. Okay. This is, it's, again, I agree with it. That's why I'm presenting it. I don't present things I don't agree with. But again, I think the fact that Rashi, the Rambam, Rabbeinu Manoach, never invoke Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso, I think they have a different perspective. Truth is, I mean, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Dever are also making a major assumption about Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso. They're assuming, that's an important point, they're assuming that Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso only when the person has a particular inappropriate perspective towards the Chametz. Pashup shot in Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso, the Torah is going to place it in your Brishus as long as objectively in a different context, if it wasn't Pesach, you have bailas on it. So the Torah is going to treat you as the bailam here too, the Inyan Isser. Pashup shot, Rashi, meaning anyone who doesn't, you know, invoke Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso, presumably says the Pashup shot on Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso is that as long as, you know, objectively, if it weren't Pesach, you'd be the bailam. So the Torah is going to treat you as the bailam. Nothing to do with how you're relating to the Chametz. So it has to be appreciated that Ramban and Rabbeinu David and the Ran in his own way have a huge chiddush about the nature of Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso, so that's only when the person is relating to the Chametz in an inappropriate
but
way.
I have to say that everyone else has a huge chiddush in what Ba'al Yer Ba'al Matzeh is in terms of being this
but
whole...
I said that, yep. Pointed out, I mean, Rashi and the Rambam already have that chiddush in a different context.
But you could
that
say
subjective.
That, but you could say that that's just because of the fact that they don't own it, because of the fact it's all about Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso.
Whoa. What? They all hold a Viri'i and Yediya that even though you objectively own it, I mean, you want to stick in Asana Kasav Kilu either even there. Yeah. I'm saying they don't say that.
But I'm saying that.
I'm saying the difference is that you're willing to stick in Asana Kasav Kilu Brishuso, and I'm not. And I'm fine. I'm fine with that. I'm fine going up to Shemayim with that, you know? Yeah. You done this with the last question, then we'll get to my yeah.
I mean, did we say before that Rabbeinu David holds the objective approach in general, seeing comics?
Good point, but he also held that the Bedika was able to change that. And if our Pshat and Bedika was correct, that Bedika is about, is a demonstration of, you know, Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, then that's exactly what Bittel is here now.
So didn't Rabbeinu David say those? I mean, but according to our Pshat and Rabbeinu David, that it's about,
yes,
he
I
did
think,
whatever he could.
Yeah, that's but the whole point of, oh, as long as you did everything you could, that shows that your perspective towards Chametz is Eino Rotzeh B'Kiyumo, that itself is very much subjective in orientation.
What about according to the Onus Rachamim Patre?
According to that, then you have no raya from there that he holds subjective. But again, it's clear, if you hold out for the Ara, you're obviously taking some type of subjective take on things. We'll stop here because of Mincha, and we'll pick up, I guess, with the Hefker approach Sunday morning, visiting day.